Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's go.
Let's go.
We ain't got no time to waste. Let's go.
Let's go.
You are now listening to Jason Anderson, and you are in the
You're in the zone with Jason Anderson on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I think there's Denny's with Diners.
Yeah, I looked up Nathaniel Hackett, and it said he was a head coach in the NFL. I don't think he was.
Well, you'd be wrong. Yes, so he was.
I don't think he qualified as a head coach. I think he was pretty bad at his job. So Denny's.
Well, yeah, but you're still a radio host.
Okay. Yes, but still bad at my job.
You're in the zone on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, a Thursday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio.
How are you?
What's up, man? What have you guys been doing lately? Huh? Big gulps, huh? Well, see you later. Yes, a Thursday edition of The Zone right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Jason Anderson with you. Josh Briscoe and Beards. We head up until 2 o'clock. We've got you for the next 4 hours. Tons of stuff to get into and talk about.
Do you know there's a basketball tournament going on?
Yeah, I've been watching the NIT a little bit, yeah. CBI's rocking.
I've got great news about Missouri basketball and some really bad news about Missouri basketball.
Well, see, here's the thing, Josh. Okay. While, yes, I was gone on a trip.
Uh-huh.
It's not vacation, because when you take the whole family with you and you go to Disney World, that is not a vacation. That is a trip. So we were there on a trip. Because I was keeping track of the steps and everything that I the most magical place on earth.
Yes.
From Wednesday to Tuesday, I walked 60 miles. Roughly 20,000 steps a day is what I averaged from Wednesday to
60?
Tuesday. 60 miles. Remember when we talked about the marathon? How long would it take you to walk?
We sure did
the marathon, and you were like, could you do it in 6 months? And Beards was like, well, yeah, I mean, I can drive a number of miles every day.
Sure.
Of course, I could drive a marathon in 6 months. Yes, 60 miles in roughly 6 days.
That is. Holy, you got those Disney calves now. That's why it's the most magical place on earth.
Not only that, but pushing a double stroller.
Oh, my
while
goodness.
Doing that. You know, I was working out.
I thought it was weird that The Rock came in to host the show today.
That's right. Yes.
I just introduced myself. And
I've got ripped jeans because my legs no longer fit in them. It's like, you made the Hulk mad.
Yes, that's Bruce right. Banner here
you
in the zone.
You don't want to see what it looks like when his legs are finally in shape. No, you don't want to look like you know what they look like at all.
It's incredible.
But no, I've been keeping track of everything. So
that would have taken me like 8 Chiefs parades.
That's right.
12 Chiefs parades? 12 Chiefs parades.
Yeah, so imagine your walk except for 8 straight hours.
Yeah, with little breaks of some
standing in line.
Of some Disney magic of standing in line in the middle. Wow.
And kids crying. While also weaving through traffic. Like I was constantly head on a swivel. Like I was a running back. Yes, mainly.
There were some tears as I walked around the parade. They were mine.
Absolutely. That's right. That's right. And there was a lot of drinking too.
That's also
so
true.
And people were weaving in and out of things. So I kept track of everything. Because I didn't want to show up and be like, hey, what happened? Please fill me in. So I've been trying to keep track of everything. Writing things down as they've happened and things like that. So just to make sure I'm caught up on everything.
Uh-huh.
So correct me if I'm wrong on any of this stuff.
Will do.
Okay. Orlando Brown lost to Princeton. Uh-huh. Jerome Tang took his shirt off at the WBC. Marquise Noel signed with the Jets. Uh-huh. Calipari yelled at kids in his yard because they were listening to Lil Baby.
That happened.
Juan Thornhill finally scored a goal for Sporting. Uh-huh. Juju struck out Bobby Witt. And there's talk of trading Kansas State to the Chiefs for Drew Omenihu.
Also, Aaron Rodgers is taking the Iona job.
Oh, my goodness. He is heading to New York.
And Rick Pitino, you're not going to believe what he did next.
So I'm right? Did I get any of those things wrong? Because I'm ready to talk about a lot of these things.
Marquise
right now.
Noel's getting traded from the Jets to the Cleveland Guardians, I think.
Okay.
Like a roller derby team?
Okay.
Yeah, that might have been it. Let me look at my bracket. Oh, and also, the only, you know what, Jason, the only thing you missed is maybe the biggest sports news of the week. We do have Mixed Nipples versus McNipples in the McNipples region of the bracket of sound.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. Nipples and the matchup. Gonzaga and UCLA. It is
like
great. It's the
personal
one thing.
Pan pizzas out here.
It's the one thing
Josh,
we
that's
wanted.
That's not the bracket news I thought you were going to say.
Have other bracket news?
Yeah. What is the standing of Chief Bracketologist versus the rest of the show?
Oh, yeah, hold on. I got to go pull up the standings. But currently, the 810 WHB Bracket Challenge in the VIP section, which includes us here at 810, and also my personal Chief Bracketologist, 13-year-old Chloe Briscoe. She is currently tied with Jason Anderson.
Yes.
So that right there. You both lost your champions, but she's got Creighton and FAU in her Final Four. So you got to be careful. A lot of bird mascots.
Okay. All right. So I feel pretty good about Princeton playing in the Final Four.
She's beating Drake and Marco, though. So
yes.
She's doing all right.
No, I think I was ranked like 5,000th something. I looked at it like on Sunday and I'm like,
yeah, in the 4,000s.
I was like, you know what? But at least I've got my national. Oh, wait. At least I've got three of the four. Nope. Two Final Four teams. At least I've got like seven Sweet 16 teams. At least I've got like three Elite Eight teams. I'm good.
Chloe's Final Four was Creighton, Florida Atlantic, Miami, and Kansas.
She could win this thing. Still available.
If the upsets keep happening, she could win this thing. Good call, Beards. I forgot about that.
How dumb is she believing in Kansas?
Unreal. So picking a one seed to make it.
So
ridiculous.
Stupid.
Ridiculous.
FAU to get. I mean, some of the things I was close with in what I thought would happen. I thought Purdue would lose in the first couple of rounds.
Yep.
I just thought it would be Memphis.
Me too.
That would get there.
That was Beards' champion.
Oh, Purdue was your champion?
Beards',
oh.
Beards' champ went down to a 16 seed.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Oh, you believed in Matt Painter.
I said for Learn Funniest Best.
Bless your heart.
That I learned I need to stop picking Purdue to go far because they're one of those teams that I always end up putting farther than I should.
Yeah.
That ain't happening anymore.
Yeah, bless your heart.
Which means they're going to win the whole thing next year.
Aww. Bless your heart, says the guy who believed in Arizona. Which, by the way, I was so close to picking Arizona. I was so close.
I just didn't know. I couldn't pick Bama.
I couldn't either.
Couldn't bring it. It didn't have it in me to pick Alabama to win the whole thing. So,
but hey, you know what we all got?
What'd we get?
We all got our Paladins, baby. 3 for 3 in the zone.
It's true. Upset specials. Set specials.
We were so excited, Jason. We were out of time at Cowboy that first day. Show was like an hour and a half. We went right into basketball watching mode.
Yep.
Beards and I were so. Beards came out. He left the station and he left. He came out into the public.
It was great.
He was allowed to be untethered. And just the electricity of watching Virginia do it again was so good.
My wife's best friend's husband. Who is a Furman grad that we talked about?
Your wife's husband.
Wife's best friend's husband, who was in Orlando with us and a Furman grad, was very excited.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Very excited. Oh. They played in Orlando. Not as excited on Saturday with the San Diego State game.
Yeah, still.
But still, Furman knocks off Virginia. That was a fun day. It was a fun Thursday, you know. Took a little time away from Epcot. Went back and had Little Miss go and take a nap, and so went back at roughly, oddly enough, right around the time that Mizzou and Kansas were playing. I don't know how that worked out.
So convenient,
but you know what? She needed to take a nap at this particular. Boy, she is really getting tired. You know what I can do? I can just jump on the Skyliner real quick. I'll take her back, and you can hang out with your friend, and you guys can go around in Epcot and drink around the world. You know they got all these different beers and everything. Epcot's more of the adults' place anyway. And you know what? I'll be back in, I don't know, maybe 2.5 hours?
Yeah, 2.5, maybe 3.
Roughly 2.5. Right around, this is Eastern time, so right around about 4, 4:15, I should be able to be back.
We'll see if her nap needs overtime or not, but We'll keep an eye out.
You never know how close that nap's going to be at the end of the game. How many timeouts is her nap going to need to be able to finish this? Sometimes her nap will even go into instant replay.
Yeah, that's...
We're going to have to review a lot of the nap there at the end.
Sorry, her nap was a real ref show.
Maybe we do, maybe we don't. I don't know, but we'll find out. I should be back around that time. Deal? Great. Have some fun, hon.
Ready, break.
All right. No, it was great. And then I was watching the K-State and K-State was easy because it was at night.
Yeah.
But the K-State and UK game, watching that one on my phone as we were at Hollywood Studios. So that was a game where I was watching that. Saturday was already a planned pool day, an off day. So I was able to watch.
Fantastic.
Thank God I was able to watch that great game.
So I don't know if you want to go full therapy session or not, but I genuinely do.
No.
I've been wondering for several days, because we've tried to do it justice.
Yeah.
I really, and maybe now with the benefit of having a little bit of time between you and Mizzou Princeton, I am genuinely curious how you experienced the first round win. I know you were excited when Arizona lost, and then losing to Princeton. Like, how that puts the Mizzou season into context, because I've put my take out there a little bit, but I'm not as emotionally invested in that team out there.
I really thought when Arizona lost to Princeton that all three of the local schools were going to be in the Sweet 16.
I did too.
Like that was my reaction on Friday was, I think K-State's going to, you know, beat UK.
Yep.
I had them losing to Marquette.
Yeah, me too. It's fine.
But now I think they're a Final Four team. I'm picking them. Sorry, K-State fans.
Oh, no. I'm the kiss of death.
If I'm picking my bracket from here on out, K-State is winning the East. Even though, by the way, they're the third betting favorite.
Crazy.
At DraftKings of the four teams remaining in the East to win the region. So, and I guess it makes sense to a degree that Tennessee is a heavier favorite over Florida Atlantic.
Sure.
So, therefore, you would expect them to be there on Saturday. And with Michigan State and Kansas State being a one-point game, and KenPom has it as a one-point game, it's a 50-50 coin flip. And because they've got Michigan State favored, so therefore Michigan State would have higher or better odds to. So it makes sense from that standpoint, but it is still surprising that the lowest seeded team, or the highest seeded team, I always get confused
best
with that.
Best seeded team.
Best, there we go. Best seeded team is the third betting favorite to win that particular region. But I really thought all three teams were going to go to the Sweet 16, because I thought K-State was going to be able to beat Kentucky. I didn't have a doubt with Missouri-Princeton, but it is perfectly Mizzou.
Perfect.
To have the bracket open up for them and then still lose that particular game, and then also have the three seed lose in that region to where you would be playing the six. So you had an opportunity to play the 10, the 15, and the six to make it to the Elite Eight and to pee down your pants for that one. That was great. And I talked about when the bracket was released, KU and Arkansas, that Arkansas has 2014 UK vibes to them.
Mm.
Now, they are in a tough region in the West to where they've got to face off against a dynamite UConn team and then the winner of Gonzaga and UCLA, which if Arkansas-UConn, if one of those teams sort of pulls away and has an easier end, they might have an advantage on Saturday, because I think Gonzaga-UCLA is going to be a war. I think it's going to be, you know, every possession, great defense, amazing offense, like tough possessions, all of that. I think that's going to be tonight. It's going to be I can't wait for that particular game. But I talked about like KU and Arkansas. I still thought KU was going to end up winning because it's just simply that championship sort of pedigree. And Arkansas has been so up and down. But I also discussed it when the bracket was released on Monday. Remember, I don't care about teams that make it or not. I care about the seeding. Mm-hmm. And when people are saying, stop complaining about KU and the seeding, they're a one seed. I care more about the seeding. And remember, I went back, and if KU were in the Midwest, I went back and reseeded everything by bracket principles, where the teams would be in geography, just to the 8-9. After that, I didn't really care to see where teams were going to be. And I had mentioned that K-State benefited the most from KU being in the West, because K-State would have then had Creighton as their second round game. As a 3 seed, they would have been playing Creighton in the round of 32, and they'd be playing UCLA if they got past Creighton. Pretty good benefit to have to play UK,
yep,
which was the worst of the 6 seeds in terms of like KenPom, things like that. And now Michigan State, not Marquette. although I thought they could beat either one of them. The reason I picked K-State to lose to Marquette is because of the turnover issues. And I thought Marquette would turn them over a lot, and it would be one of those to where, well, it got them. Like all of the things that Missouri struggled with this year, it got them in one game. In one game, it was like, there you go. Couldn't grab a defensive board. Defensively, they were leaving shooters open. Offensively, they can sometimes get into too much of an ISO one-on-one game and not really, you know, move the ball around. And if they can't get in and out in transition, they can struggle to score. But I reseeded it, and KU in the second round, their 8-9 matchup was Maryland and Auburn. Mm-hmm. So what's a better chance of KU being able to play this weekend facing Arkansas, which was a top 10 team at points this year, or the winner of Maryland-Auburn?
The second one.
Yeah, and that's where the seeding comes in. So next year when we talk about seeding and who should be here, it changes so much about – it's not just, well, they go to the Midwest and they play the winner of Iowa-Auburn, or, well, they're in the West, they'll play the winner of Arkansas-Illinois. You know, win the game. That's right. Arkansas's an 8 seed. Win the game. I get it. KU's a 1 seed. But it matters sometimes who you play, because obviously the easier road, the better chance you have of making it. And K-State faced off against a 6 seed. Now they get Michigan State in a 7 seed. But Michigan State is playing good basketball. And I know they just lost to Ohio State last weekend. Well, the weekend before that, because it was the Big Ten tournament. They come out there and they lay an egg. I think they were playing okay basketball at the end of the season. And Tom Izzo is really good at winning 4 games in the tournament. He might be the best coach at winning 4 games in the tournament. He can't win 5. He struggles with that 5th game mightily. But he can win 4 games as well as anybody. But there's something about this K-State team this year that it is not a surprise to me that K-State is in the Sweet 16. It's also not a surprise that KU lost to Arkansas, because we discussed that. And it's not a surprise that Mizzou did not make it out of the round of 32. It's a surprise that they lost to Princeton. But it's not a surprise, given when the bracket was released, that they were facing off, expected to face off against Arizona. And that was even if they beat Utah State. Because K-State and KU were going to be in the round of 32. Mizzou was more of a coin flip, and they were dogs in that game. I'm incredibly happy for Jerome Tang and K-State and what this season has been for them, because they have absolutely earned it. It's been a fun team to watch. They've had their ups and downs throughout the year. They've had games where it got them and you're like, man, how did that happen in that particular game? But just find a way to stop turning the ball over, man. And what they did the last 4 minutes against UK was just brilliant. I mean, it was brilliant basketball. And a team that was essentially put together less than a year ago with a new coach, new system, new everything, to then go up against UK, that a coach has been there for 12 years, and a number of players returning on that, including the National Player of the Year in Oscar Tshiebwe, and NBA players, and not that Kansas State doesn't have NBA players, but NBA players on the floor, and the length that UK will have in that game against Marquise Noel. And length can bother him from time to time. But for them to do what they did the last 4 minutes was so impressive. You know, they scored on every single possession the last 4 minutes. You may have already talked about this and discussed this on Monday and probably Tuesday and even yesterday as well. But they scored every single possession in the last 4 minutes. They fall down by 4 with 4 minutes to go, and they go on an immediate 13-2 run. Defensively, they get stops. They clean up the boards defensively because, you know, Tshiebwe's there. They clean up the boards, and they knock down big, tough shots. Noel, a big 3. Masuda, a big 3. Keontae Johnson, a step-back 3. Off an offensive rebound, by the way, that the play was kept alive. And they don't miss a free throw. 3 of 4 from the field. 10 of 10 from the free throw line, 19 points in 4 minutes. That is roughly a pace for 190. So when the game mattered most and a chance to make it to the second weekend for a team that was put together less than a year ago with a brand new coach against UK and the brand and all of that stuff, they went and finished the game with 2.4 points per possession the rest of the way. didn't miss a free throw, missed one field goal attempt, and on that miss, they got an offensive rebound and a three. It was brilliant basketball when they had to have it, and Noel has absolute stones of steel. And it's been a fun team to watch all year, and I'm happy for them that they're in the Sweet 16, and they've got a chance to really, really make history. Jerome Tang has a chance to make history. I mean, a first-year coach to make the Final Four. It's happened three times since the tournament expanded? A first-year coach to make the Final Four three times since the tournament expanded in 85? He could be the fourth coach ever? And not first year at a school, first year as a coach. First year as a coach, a head coach, to make the Final Four. He's going up against Tom Izzo, who, when Tom Izzo was winning a national championship, Jerome Tang was coaching high school basketball. I mean, that's what's amazing about the NCAA tournament. That Princeton, in their huge upset, and the star of that team is now the coach of Princeton that's now in the Sweet 16. Like, these stories are amazing. They're great. You've got chances for teams to make these runs, and teams we haven't seen. FAU, they can be in the Final Four, certainly.
Did you see the picture of the gym, the home gym for FDU after they beat? Oh, I'll show you in the break,
please.
Or I'll show you when we come back.
That signed with Cleveland, right?
FDU is now, I think they're a Jet. I can't. FDU's head coach told Pat McAfee that he was considering taking a different job.
It's in Jersey, so they should be a Jet or a Giant.
That would make sense.
One of the two.
You have been in a million more impressive gyms in your life, and that is the team that upsets the one seed this year. Like, those moments, they're all over the place, and they only really exist in March Madness, at least in American sports.
I like that a couple of teams we were talking about and joking about championship week ended up making some news.
Dickinson!
How Dickinson are they? Fairly. How deserving are they of being in the tournament? Fairly. I mean, they lost to Merrimack in their conference championship game. They didn't even win their own conference tournament.
And here's where they play their home games. How incredible is that?
So a little smaller than Blue Valley right around the corner.
Yes. Yeah, so I mean, it looks like a YMCA gym with some seats.
It's a fairly small gym.
It is maybe even more than that. It is
a fairly small gym. Texas A&M Corpus Christi. Remember we were joking about Weber versus Corpus Christi, and they get in, and they beat Southeast Missouri State, and they play Alabama in the first round. It's been a fun tournament so far, I guess. But you know what? Real quick, as we take a break, and I want to hear from Jerome Tang, Marquise Noel, talking about this matchup tonight. Tom Izzo with praise for Jerome Tang as a coach. Kansas is tough to look at and break down and say this is a positive and negative. It's a good season, bad season. Mm-hmm. It's a successful season. They lost in the round of 32 as a one seed, so it's hard to say that's a successful season. Mm-hmm. But so much is tournament driven. They won this conference almost by three games if they knock off Texas in that final game. They won the regular season in this conference. They played in the conference championship game in Kansas City. And they were a one seed when they lost so much. Like, it's been a great, fun year for Kansas that ended with a thud. And for Mizzou, it's been 11 years since they won 25 games. And they won 25 games in Dennis Gates' first year. And they won a game in the tournament. Mm-hmm. It sucks how it ended, because it was a sour taste in the mouth to watch the team play like that. But it was an incredibly fun and successful season for Mizzou. And I don't want to get caught up, even with Kansas and Mizzou, get caught up in everything is always about the tournament. It's always about the tournament. But for Kansas State, there's no debating or getting around what this season has been and what Jerome Tang has been for that program. And again, it's a stark contrast from a year ago when the coach that was exiting was talking about all of the reasons why you can't win at K-State and all of the things that are wrong with the university and the fan base and the location. and he's the hardest worker there, and nobody's going to work harder, therefore you can't get players. If he couldn't get players, nobody can. To then, a year later, this team is playing in the Sweet 16, and they are two wins away from heading to Houston to play in a Final Four for the first time since the 60s. It's just unbelievable, and it's amazing how quick things can change.
With the power of love.
Isn't it amazing? When you do it out of love and not out of hate.
The impression's really getting there.
It's amazing.
Hey everybody, Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
She cooks a lot of the stuff there, but she typically turns to me for the meat.
I bet she does.
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, we continue right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. I'm glad there's somebody else out there that was so ignorant when it came to Disney World as I was.
Yeah.
And that's Josh.
That's me. Never been. Doesn't super appeal to me. I don't love lines.
Well, everybody says you got to get the fast pass, which is the Lightning Lane or the Genie Plus, which it absolutely is true. I mean, being able to skip the lines is pretty awesome. But I was so dumb that I thought all of the rides and the different, like, you know, Magic Kingdom and Epcot and stuff was like inside of one big ass park.
Yeah.
Like if it was like Worlds of Fun, where like the northeast part of Worlds of Fun is Magic Kingdom and the northwest part is Epcot.
Nope.
And you just went there and it's like, oh, you got to go like a number of days to see it all.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because there's four separate parks that are away from each other. And I didn't know that until like we got into the planning part of this, like, you know, a couple, three months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So didn't know any of this.
I had a lot of fun. It was stressful and it was
you
intense.
Said in the break that you did everything that was presented to you. You're being a little adventurous Disney guy.
I am so risk averse with so many things and I do not ride roller coasters. I talk about it all the time. And yet, when in Rome, I got into the spirit of it, and I rode all the roller coasters. I did the Guardians of the Galaxy. We were very lucky that we were at Magic Kingdom on Monday, and on Monday was the soft opening of Tron.
That
Tron doesn't open up until April 4th, but the first day that it was allowed to the public to ride it was a, quote, soft opening, which was whatever the date Monday was, the 20th, I guess, and we were able to get into the virtual queue. And the And being able to do that is just crazy. My wife and I, so everybody's trying to get into the virtual queue, right?
Uh-huh.
Because it was announced the day before, a couple days before, that Tron is going to have people that are at Magic Kingdom there, and it's available to the public to ride, right? Because we were at Magic Kingdom on Wednesday, and it's just an empty roller coaster. You see it the whole time. They're just running the carts the whole time, or these makeshift sort of bikes the whole time. And, you know, it's just empty. And we're like, man, that's cool. April 4th. But, you know, some people will be there. It's like her brother-in-law is going to be there at that time. And that's cool. And then they say there's going to be a soft opening on that Monday. And to get into the virtual queue, like you have to refresh everything and it fills up. The 7 a.m. virtual queue filled up in 30 seconds.
Oof.
So if you were not on your phone at 7 a.m., you did not get in line to go to Tron. They have another virtual queue that starts at 1 o'clock. And you have to be actually in the park to do that. The 7 o'clock one, you can be wherever you want. 1 o'clock, you have to be in the park. So my wife and I are sitting down. I've got her phone and my phone. We have them both on the virtual queue page. We've checked in everybody already. So all you have to do is refresh. She's got the second on her phone, like not the digital, but, you know, the old school clock.
Yes.
on her watch. And we're watching the seconds tick off. And it's 57, 58. 12:59:59. I refresh both of them.
Bam, 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 bam.
And boom, hit the virtual queue on both of them. And we got in. We did it exactly at the time that it hit 1 o'clock, and it was still a 3-hour wait for us.
Holy goodness.
Now, we didn't have to wait in line that whole time.
Sure.
But it was 3 hours, 180 minutes was the estimated time before your boarding group can go and check in. And that was within a second of it hitting 1 o'clock.
I'm reading an article about it right now, and like, here it says, on the day of your visit, you can try to join the queue from anywhere at 7 a.m., and you should plan to log on early.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
Absolutely.
Good journalism here.
So, yeah, we were sitting there, like, we want to ride it. And
it looks really cool.
And Everett rode it as well, and so, yeah, it was
I mean, you're on, like,
awesome.
The light bike, I mean, like, laying out kind of in the same position, right?
It was
like,
awesome, yes, yeah, to lean forward neat. Like that and go from 0 to 60 in, like, 3 seconds.
That it seems
was, it was unbelievable.
Very
how,
cool.
How quick you go from, and it counts down to, it's like 3, 2, 1, and like 3 seconds later, you're going 60 miles an hour.
That seems amazing.
With, you know, with the,
and also,
you know,
like pretty much the only way I think I'm going to hit 60 miles an hour on a motorcycle. I just yes. don't necessarily think that's
exactly
something
right.
I'm super equipped to do. But maybe that, exactly hold on, right. Have you considered, have you Googled since you got back how to buy a light bike?
Because I haven't yet because I'm not going to.
I'm going to think about it now.
You know, I wouldn't have even ridden that last week at this. Well, not last week at this time, but last week on, you know, Tuesday, I'd be like, no, I'm not riding those things. I'm not riding Guardians of the Galaxy. I'm not riding. I'll ride Avatar because it's in a room. And so it's like the simulation 3D, like you're in Pandora, but it's in a room. So I know that if anything breaks down, I fall on the floor.
Right, right.
No! Oh, thank God. Okay, I'm just on the floor now. Okay, I fell,
2 feet.
I fell right. 20 inches. I, yeah. Okay, all I'm good. All right. I feel okay. The other ones,
Guardians one looks.
It was
really cool.
It was pretty awesome. So
I'm proud of you for embracing your adventurous, you know, inner Disney dad.
My son did everything, and I couldn't believe it. He did all the way. He did Space Mountain twice. I hated Space Mountain. He rode Tron with me. We were in the front row. We got up to the front, and it was me and my son, and I go, there's a guy named, Mark or something, and he's sending guys to the lines, and I know that line one is front, and I go, two, line one, please, and he looks over, he goes, yeah, go ahead.
Wow.
So we got the front row to ride Tron.
Which you maybe a little bit didn't really want? Or were you fully in on, you know, if I'm going to be here, put me
that's
up
exactly
front.
Right. That's exactly right. If I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out.
I'm going to go out on the light bike.
Yeah. Also, by the way, riding Everest, the roller coaster,
yeah,
which was at Animal Kingdom. So I'm riding it by myself because my wife rode it with Everett.
Okay.
And then she heads back and watches Juliet. And then I ride it. I get on with this, you know, lady in her, you know, late 60s, and she's like, I was here when Everest opened. This is my favorite ride. Every time we come here, I ride it like 4 times. I told my grandkids I'm going to die on this ride.
Didn't say when. She said she was going
to. And I looked at her and I said, well, hopefully it's your next ride.
Hopefully not this. Even that's kind of dark. Yeah. Like, hopefully you got 2 more left here, lady.
I don't care how many you got left, as long as it's more than one. What a thing to say with someone who doesn't like roller coasters.
Even if it's not due to a malfunction, even if you just, you know, you get halfway through and suddenly this lady's gotten limp.
I don't care if she would have said that, like, it wouldn't have mattered to me even if she'd have said it on Slinky Dog, it still was inappropriate. Still an inappropriate thing to say when you're getting ready to start trekking out on this thing through a mountain. So
that's amazing. Yeah.
All that to say, Jerome Tang is talking about what makes, or what he's most proud of with this K-State team.
To see their chemistry, like how they've come together and how they have been willing to learn each other's story and be able to empathize with each other so they know where they're coming from. And you know, the thing is, like, when you have mature guys, they know how to say tough things to each other but not make it personal.
Right.
And they also, you know, they know how to motivate each other in the right way because they've been motivated correctly or incorrectly at some point in their life. And they're all winners, right? They won in high school. Some they've won in college. Desi Fields, now I call him the ultimate winner, right? And but those guys, they've been in tough situations and know how to fight through it, and they know what it takes and to remain positive. And so to watch all those guys just come together, man, and you know, a player led team is always better than a coach led team. And I tell them all the time, this is their team. I'm just helping manage, and I want their input, and they've done a great job every game all year long, giving great input on what we need to do to help us, you know, win the game.
I love the line where he said they can offer criticism without, like, being offended. Mm. I'm paraphrasing there. I didn't say it nearly as well as Jerome Tang said it. But that is so hard to find in a team. Because when you are in intense situations, high stress situations, like you're walking around Disney World and trying to get from ride to ride, sometimes you can react quicker than you probably should to something that is pretty mundane, right? That is benign. That is not that big of a deal. And in a game where you're in front of, you know, 15,000 people and you're on national TV and you guys are discussing what's going on, and to be able to take criticism from a teammate and not be like, okay, you know what, bleep you right back. I mean, we saw the pushing with Memphis in the first round, you know, when they're playing FAU. Like, and it's not to pick on that. It's just one example of things that can happen in a game that it's hard to find a group of guys that are willing to accept criticism from their peers and know that this is coming from a place of love.
Love.
But also, you have to acknowledge that if I'm going to give the criticism, then I also know that I am not perfect. Right. And there are going to be plenty of times where I will be off. Like, I can't give you criticism then be pissed when you give me criticism. It's got to be a two-way street.
And it's reinforced every time he opens his mouth. He's talking about what he says to the players in that clip, and he's talking about it yesterday in the pressers that we carried. It's to the rest of his coaches as well, saying, hey, this is your team. Like, I'm here, and I got stuff to do, and it's my team, but it's your team as well. That everyone having ownership in that, it helps everyone be accountable. It helps everyone stay invested. And I genuinely, not even making a joke about his favorite word, his favorite four-letter word even, but I really think it is done with love, where it is about the mutual investment and all working towards the same thing. And at this point, I don't know how you could be anything less than completely in on Drum Tang.
We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. We'll talk with Kent Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock, KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast. We got Sports or Leisure in the 1 o'clock hour. We got Bracket of Sound that we'll get into and continue talking some K-State basketball, some college basketball, and some NFL football with the goings-on there, with Mecole Hardman signing yesterday with the New York Jets 1 year up to $6.5 million in the conversation around why not with the Chiefs? Did the Chiefs not want him? Did he not want KC? Did they not want to sign him to that amount of money? We'll get into all of that stuff, and we'll talk with Kent Swanson coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. More Zone rolling along right after this.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Catalogs on?
Brian Doyle Murphy.
Craig Stout.
Murray. Damn it.
Come on. That's the famous part of his name is Murray, Jason.
I know.
Why did you make him Murphy?
Weekdays from 10 to 2 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, wrapping up the first hour here on Sports Radio 810 WHB in the Zone on this Thursday edition. We'll talk some football with Kent Swanson, KC Sports Network, KC Laboratory Podcast coming up in the next segment. Also, some more college basketball we will get into as we talk about K-State and Michigan State tonight, 5:30 TBS. K-State getting a point and a half against Michigan State tonight. Again, I like the Wildcats to win, and I just think the way that Marquise Noel is playing right now, it's going to be tough to slow him down. 44 points, 23 assists, 7 rebounds, 6 steals in 2 games in the tournament. If you're into that sort of stat-stuffing type performance, whatever. Cool. Good for you. Anybody can do that. Anybody. Like me or Josh.